We go. So today we're going to talk about traits of the mentally strong, like 10 of the traits. And I think it's kind of interesting because we can model these and you can look at other aspects. Excuse me, I got to put my feet up. My Achilles tendon is killing me. What separates, you know, highly successful people from those? And of course, I wrote that book, Habits for Success. And hey, Anthony, hey, Paul. Anthony just coached somebody that won a gold medal in the Olympic qualifiers in the Middle East there. So that's kind of cool. So congratulations to Mr. Anthony. So today we're going to talk about, you know, traits of the mentally strong, and we talk about habits and things, but what are some of the underlying traits? And I always thought this, and I always wanted to do the study, but somebody else sort of did a study close to it. And they looked at like the people that went to West Point, and you know, it's a hard school to get into. It's not, you know, West Point, any of the academies, military academies, is tough. But of all the people that get in, you know, they have a pretty high washout rate, you know. And I was wanting to do this with like the people that go into like, SEAL training or Ranger training or Spec Ops training, you know. Like, you know, who makes it and who doesn't. And it's not the physical thing, because we can train you up on a lot of the physical stuff. We can get you in shape, you know, and, you know, to even get into like West Point, you got to be in shape. You got to run certain amounts. You got to do that. So the physical part, and we can train you just like in the military. You got to pass the first, you got to get through boot camp. And of course, that's pretty physically challenging. And then you got an extra test if you want to go to one of the specialty schools. You know, like, you know, Navy would be SEALs or underwater demolition, Marine Recon, Army would be Rangers or Spec Ops. And, you know, excuse my bird if you can hear it. It's not the physical can drive you out. We know there's certain physical things, but what are the mental traits? What are the mental things? And a lot of this boils down to something that is can be overstated, and that's called grit. You know, what's your mental, do you have the grit? You know, like there was a movie a long time ago, it was a John Wayne movie, excuse me for saying it, but it was called True Grit. You know, how, hey, Selena, one of these days I want to get to one of your conferences. And Nelson, or Noreen, hey, I haven't seen you for a while. I'm saying hi to everybody on Facebook for my group here. The difference is the Facebook Live, this will be up for a while. I may take it down, but I'm going to do a little extra after we finish the Facebook Live for my, that goes on my e-zine and that. But anyway, going back to grit, you know, what is it that separates those that make it through like things like West Point, Naval Academy, SEAL training, Ranger training? Well, one of the first things when you equalize for some of the other things, it's mental grit, you know, the ability to keep going, the ability to drive through. And so this thing I read, and they had like 10 things. And so I'm kind of going to review their study a little bit. I want to give credit where credit is due. I'm looking it up. It was Dr. Travis Bradbury. And, you know, it's a good thing because as hypnotists, NLPers, change agents, and this is something we can do for actors and things like that. Who makes it even in acting? You know, I could flip this over into that realm if you bear with me, because it's kind of interesting. Because it's not always talent. You know, you can go off Broadway, you can go community theater, regional, and you see some kick-ass talent, right? And so is it talent that makes it to the next level? Not always. Of course, if you get your break and you got talent, you're much more likely to stay there. But who even sticks around long enough to get that break, right? And so I would call it grit. And one of the first things about grit is you have to be ready to fight when you're already defeated. You have to get off the mat and keep going, right? You have to keep going. You know, heard like, you know, Frank Zane and Arnold Schwarzenegger talk about bodybuilding, and they were talking about the guys that make it to that level of that elite bodybuilding world. They know their training is starting when their muscles give out, right? When they've hit failure, now they start working, right? And it wasn't just doing like 20 sets. It might only be 3 sets, but they go to failure and beyond. Right? It's to get off the mat and keep fighting. Muhammad Ali talked about you know, how many sit-ups. Somebody asked him, I think, how many sit-ups or push-ups he did. And he goes, I don't know. I don't start counting till I can't do anymore, right? And so if you think about that, that is like fighting when you're defeated, you know? Of course, in the spec op world, you know, one of the big things is you're never out of the fight, right? And that's the first question I'll ask you is, you know, if you're injured, are you still in the fight? Can you be in the fight, right? And literally, nobody wants to be out of the fight. So it's that mental grit of, you know, when other people quit, you're ready to drive through. You know, when you get the fourth rejection that day for auditions, do you get up the next day and start the rounds again? You know, do you go and do more auditions? You know, if you've had a couple of bad stage hypnosis shows, do you give up or do you say, okay, now it's time to regroup and relearn, get up off the mat and keep going? So you have to be ready to dig in and fight hard when you're already defeated. You know, when you're at your limit, right? Then you get ready to really keep pushing. The next thing is you have to be willing to make mistakes, look like an idiot, if you will, right? And try again, right? Without flinching, right? You have to be able to do that. I heard Robert Redford give a talk at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts when I was there, to drop a name. But he talked about you're only as good in performance as you got the guts to be bad in rehearsal. You know, you got, you know, certain things, everything. And he would say everything's a rehearsal because you're doing a performance, especially in a play. Well, you're going to do hopefully, you know, 60 to however many hundreds of performances. Each one is a learning experience and you may fail. You're not going to hit that note tonight if it's a musical. You're going to miss that dance step. You might miss a cue. You might drop a line. You're a stage hypnotist. The bit that usually works doesn't work tonight. You got to be ready to accept that, right? To make mistakes and grow from it and not beat yourself up for it. You know, John Bradshaw, people that remember him on The Family, he used to say, you know, guilt is when you make a mistake. Shame is when you think you are a mistake, right? And truly successful people can separate that I made a mistake, no big deal, and they don't get beat up over it, right? And then people may try to shame you over it. Well, I published a book, Habits for Success, the one that's just recently been re-released, and, you know, self-published, but still, and I made a mistake. I had what I did is I transcribed the class I taught. Some of you took the class. It was a good class. I transcribed it, but if you ever read a transcription of a course, it doesn't read well. But anyway, so I got the transcription, I cleaned it up, then I actually had it edited, so it was pretty good. You know, hey, this is a shout out to Monica. So I had it, edited, and I had the file. And somehow, I deleted that file and uploaded the wrong file. So some people got it, and they said, you know, hey, they like the concept, but it's hard as shit to read. And so I went back and reread it. And, you know, I proofed it, but I proofed the other one, if you bear with me. So basically, I screwed up. I made a mistake. I'm like, yeah, okay. So somebody called me and they're like, they said, yeah, you made, you know, what I did. And I said, yeah, I made a mistake. I'm going to fix it. I couldn't find the old file, so I had to have the book re-edited, and then I had to clean it up. So now it's up and it's the right way. And they mentioned a couple more times. I'm like, dude, I just made a fucking mistake. Excuse me, but shit happens. You know, I probably shouldn't have been multitasking at that moment, but I'm not going to beat myself up for it. I wanted to get the book up before I started these trips, right? And then I could fix it. I fixed the mistake. I took the book down for a while, got the correct up, put it up. I'm getting the other book I screwed it up to, so it's being fixed. The Ultimate Fat Loss for You, and it's going to go up. You got to be willing to make mistakes, you know, and look bad, right? Because that's the only way you get better, you know? Not every talk you're going to do works. You know, we got a few people here, Selena, she's still on. Hello, beautiful lady. And a few others, you know, that Paul and a few others, Anthony, you know, we speak a lot. We go to conferences or we do speaking. You know, the first time you do a speech or a talk, it might not go as well as you want. That's okay, right? I always say that's one reason you do you might practice your talk. You might do a webinar. You might, give a talk at a small conference to work out the bugs before you go to a big conference, right? And that comes in with another one that they say, and this one I don't think is as important as others, is sometimes you have to be willing to delay gratification. But that does not mean not enjoying yourself. You know, you want to give this big keynote speech at a huge conference or a big corporation, well, you might want to practice somewhere small first, right? So, but again, you got to be willing to make mistakes and move on, right? You have to be able to keep your emotions in check. And when I'm giving these, you know, think about where your strengths, where your weaknesses. I got grit. You know, I keep trying. You know, I don't mind screwing up. A lot of you have seen me do that. I don't freak out. You know, I send out emails, you know, and they might have a mistake and people try to like shame me. And I'm like, you're not going to shame me. I just made a mistake. You know, hey, you know, I need to get an editor. But those two I'm strong at. I'm not good at delaying gratification, you know, because, you know, life's short and then you die. You might as well get some of the stuff you want, right? And this one about keeping your emotions in check, I have to work on, right? I can get overly emotionally too quick. Now, what's interesting, if you want to be a super high achiever of the mentally, you know, people that do it, and doesn't mean you won't be a high achiever, but you may not get to that level unless you can keep your emotions in check, right? Especially the negative emotions, the anger, you know, the things like that. And, you know, if you could do that, you're much more likely to be successful. And kind of going with that is one where they talk about that you got to be able to be kind to people who are rude to you, right? And again, you got to first that to do that first step, you have to be able to keep your emotions in check, right? And not react with anger, but to pull back and see it. And then you could be, you could understand maybe why they're rude to you, right? You know, and you could just, it helps you reframe it in your mind, right? You know, when I had a couple of people calling me out on the book mistake, I'm like, well, excuse me, but remind me again, how many books have you written? Oh, you haven't. Oh, okay. And I think part of it, they see the world through you don't do something till it's absolutely perfect. But perfect is the enemy of good, right? And so, you know, so you have to be able to keep your emotions in check, which will allow you to be able to tolerate or be okay with people that are rude to you, right? Yet another thing is a trait of mentally strong people is do the things you're afraid to do, whether it's make that phone call, give that talk, go to that conference, do that audition, you know, whatever it is, you got to be willing to do the things you're afraid to do, right? And of course, all of us with the hypnosis, the NLP, you know, hopefully we have the skill set to help us get to that next level, right? So can you do the things you're afraid to do, you know, including like decide something, this shit just ain't working, right? This shit just ain't working. Like maybe you launch a product, God knows I've done that, write a book that you think is gonna kick ass and just doesn't work. You know, there comes a point you make the call, you know, first you do the things you don't wanna do and then to be able to go, you know, this isn't working. And then go do something else. Again, that goes back to the grit. Okay, it didn't work. I'm gonna do something else. The other thing that you have to do is trust your gut, right? You have to trust your gut, right? And that doesn't mean being impulsive, but it means that yeah, after you weigh everything, you got to develop that internal thing of, you know, what's important to you? Sometimes you do things just because it's right. That's integrity, right? The birds really going crazy out there. Sometimes you just have to decide this isn't working, right? So you got to trust your gut, right? And that's another big one. And then lastly is you have to be willing to lead when no one else will, right? That's a true mark of an entrepreneur too. It's like, I'm just going to, you know, this company doesn't want to do what I want it to do. I'm going to make my own company and do it this way, right? So when you do these things, that's like some of the traits of mentally strong people is grit number one. And what's grit? Well, grit again is digging in when you feel defeated, knowing that you have to get up off the mat and just do it one more time, just push a little bit harder. You know, you have to be willing to make mistakes and look foolish, right? And part of that would be a subset of that is don't put too much credence into what other people are saying about you or to you, right? Let's face it, you know, the people that talk bad about you now, if you get as successful as you hope to be, in 5 years, they'll be saying how they know you, you know? I heard some younger actor, one of the guys in the Avengers, think it was, I forget which run, but he talked about how, you know, when he decided he was going to be an actor and, he acted in high school, but he was going to go become a professional actor. All these people were making fun of him and doing this and that. And then of course I think it was Captain America. Then he gets, you know, gets a couple good breaks in movies, becomes Captain America, yada, yada, yada. Well, he goes, you know, then all the people that made fun of him in high school and right afterwards, now are acting like, oh, I always knew it. You were going to do this, right? So he kind of said, if I'd have put credence into what they said, you know, he wouldn't have left the Boston suburbs and went and became who he became. So you can't, you have to be willing to make mistakes. And he told one of the person that worst that can happen is I don't make it. But I would rather nibble on what I want than feast on something I don't want. So maybe, you know, it's the thing, you want to be an actor, go become an actor. What if you don't make it? Well, at least you're doing it, right? But you could have been a successful CPA. Yeah, but what if that's not what you want, right? So I'd rather feast on, or I'd rather nibble at my true desires than feast on mediocrity and things I really don't want, right? You have to be willing to delay gratification somewhat. And to me, that means taking maybe my ultimate goal is this, well, I want to, like, there may be small steps to get there. You know, if I want to give a keynote or a big speech at a business keynote, I probably should work on building my stage skills, my speaking skills, and this and that, right? And keep your emotions in check. When you keep your emotions in check, that helps you to be able to handle people who are rude to you, right? And these are, again, this goes back to the people that are going to poo-poo your dreams, you know, and things like that, right? And make the calls that you're afraid to make, to do the activities, and to be willing to lead if no one else is going in the direction you want, you know? Because sometimes, it may work, it may not work. I remember they were talking to Steve Jobs, you know, when he went and launched the iPhone and bet the whole company, after he got back, he's betting everything on, you know, first he did the iPod, but then when he really went, and it was, as we all know, it was very successful. Those of us old enough remember the iPod. We all had them. A lot of us had them, right? And then he gets ready, he's launching the iPhone, right? And it's Apple. It's a computer company, you know? So then they get in the music business. Then they get in the, but when he launched the iPhone, he literally bet, he trusted his gut, this ties in. He didn't care what people thought. He had all of these things, you know, and Apple had a couple setbacks. But when he got ready to launch the iPhone, he bet the whole shooting match on this new product, right? And some of his board was upset, right? But he's like, I'm going to do this. It's either going to take this company to the next level or it's going to bury it. And he was okay either way. Now, if you think of the power in that, you know, and of course, you know, I still think it's up there with Amazon as the most profitable company in the world right now, right? But it's that way with everything, right? So take these traits, and again, let me go down them, and just see, you know, where do you rank on these? Are you pretty good at one, and maybe you need to work on the other, right? Are you able to fight when you feel defeated? Can you do that one more rep? You know, on the Zoom call here, we have beautiful Monica, who is a world-class power lifter. You know, are you willing to do that extra workout? Are you willing to do this, right? When Anthony was coaching shooter, you know, I know, because she's an Olympian, this will be a third Olympics, she had to be willing to do the shots, even when that day maybe wasn't going well, whatever it is. So you do have the grit to fight when you already feel defeated, right? Are you okay with making mistakes, looking foolish, and trying again without thinking? Right? Can you do that? Can you keep your emotions in check? How's your strength on that? And how are you with dealing with people that are rude to you, or the people that poo-poo your dreams and tell you all the reasons it won't work? You know, what's the old saying? You know, the people that'll say something won't work are busy telling that to the people that are already doing it. You know, we just had an example, the guy that broke the, was it the two hour marathon, right? Which again was physically impossible. No one was supposed to be able to do it. Well, the guy did it, right? And, you know, he didn't listen to those people. You have to be able to delay gratification. And I would swing that more into, you have to be able to realize your end dream may have some steps to get, you may jump to that level, whatever it is that you're doing, but there may be steps to get there, right? You have to be willing to make the calls that you're, that are tough, you know, cut things loose, cut people loose. You know, again, this goes back to getting started and writing things off and trusting your gut, right? And lastly, you have to be willing to lead sometimes, do something different, do something out of the box, right? So where do you rank on those and what do you need to work on, right? You may have some strengths, that's great. And you can keep building on your strengths, but you got to work on your weaknesses. Again, to use athletics, you know, I got to train with some guys that were going to high-level martial arts things, right? And they do things like, if you're right-handed, they make you fight left-handed, right? They would put a weight on one of your legs, whatever your strong kicking leg was, you'd have to wear a weight on it to make you try to use the other leg, right? And it was like, I heard a coach say to them, you know, if you're already strong at this, you can keep working on it, but we want to bring your weaknesses up. So again, which one of these are you strong at, and which one of these do you need to grow? Do you need to nurture? You know? So again, can you keep your emotions in check? Are you okay with dealing with rude people? That's ones I have to work on. How are you at trusting your gut? Are you willing to lead? Excuse me. Can you focus on the details? This is one I have to work on. I have a tendency to jump to the big picture and then think it's done. Now, some of these, you know, you can work on yourself. And some of them, if it's not in your wheelhouse, why don't you get someone that can do it for you? You know? So anyway, those are some of the things. So you can think about, you know, what makes you strong, you know, what do you need to work on? That's basically it. So this is the NFNLP members forum that we're doing. I'm working on some new things. We're about to relaunch one of the websites, which will change, you know, how stuff works. I'm working on some exciting possibilities in the near future for NFNLP and the NLP Today world that I'm in. So keep in touch. And I'm about to sign off on Facebook Live. I'm going to stay here for a few more minutes. So have a great day. Keep in touch. Shoot me an email. Shoot me a text. Shoot me some kind of info. Even leave a comment on this. If you like this, click like and share. If you didn't like it, keep it to yourself. Let me know what's going on, if you have any questions. And again, if you want to get on my mailing list, because I do a little bit more for my mailing list people than just Facebook. So I'll see you soon. All right, that's done. All right. So, that's forming over there. So again, when you're thinking about these things, you know, these traits of the mentally strong, I'd like to more call them traits of the success, mentally successful. You know, how do you get to that next level? You know, because we all know one of those things, if you let what other people say worry you, it's going to drive you crazy. Reminds me of a story I heard of someone that when they were in high school, they had a dream of building they were in high school and the assignment, let me give the whole story. the writing assignment was to write like something they want to do with their lives. And he wrote a beautiful essay on, he wanted to open up like a 200 acre ranch to bring in people, kids that, I don't know if you want to call them underprivileged or whatever, but kids that needed a little bit more, and a whole place just for that. That's what he wanted to do. That was his goal. And he wrote a beautiful essay about it. And, he gave it to the teacher, and the teacher wrote back, basically kind of flunked him and said, this is a stupid idea. Work on, you know, maybe going to a trade school or doing something. But anyway, the guy becomes super successful, does buy the 200 acre ranch with the horses and would bring in kids. And one day, he was given a talk, and he had that thing that he wrote, and he had it like, I guess, laminated and put on the wall. And he talked about that you can't let other people destroy your dreams, right? Well, and one of the times he was doing it, the teacher that flunked him was there, probably about to retire, and went up and apologized to him, but actually said, the sad part was he was a dream destroyer, not a dream builder. And he said, I was justifying it in my head by, I didn't want to see you fail or get hurt. And, you know, now I realize that maybe how many dreams I destroyed because of my limited view of the world, because of where these kids were coming from. You know, they weren't the type that were expected to go to the good schools and do all this other stuff. So he's trying to like lower their expectations, right? And he looks back and realizes that that was a fatal error on the part of helping other people grow. And so, you know, those of us in this world of NLP and hypnosis and that, are you a dream builder or dream destroyer? You know, I see this in conferences where, you know, where there will be a few people there that are highly successful in the world of hypnosis and NLP. You know, making a living, doing some very good, doing all this other stuff. And yet there are those, and these are even in our field, and sometimes it's the people who talk about the law of attraction and all that stuff, and yet they'll be slamming those kind of people, right? And, you know, telling the new people, well, you know, not everybody can do what so-and-so did or so-and-so, this guy or that girl, you know, rather than encouraging them and just fessing up to the fact that, you know, maybe that person doesn't want to do the work it takes to get to that level. You know, if you want a six-figure income in a hypnosis practice, you're going to work six-figure hours. You know, my friend used to say, you want executive pay in a practice, you got to be willing to work executive hours. Executives don't work 4 hours a week. They don't have a laptop lifestyle. You know, they put in the hours, they put in the work. You know, so what is it what are you? Are you a dream builder or are you a dream destroyer? And, you know, kind of with that, I just want you to think about that. Let me click that off. And again, look at those things, you know, where are you strong at? Where do you need to work? You know, where do you need to do? You know, and I'm going to be doing some webinars soon. A little bit more detail. I'm going to do one on, you know, the NLP-based regression, right? Which is going to be fun. I get to piss off all the regression people, what they get wrong. I'm going to use a medical analogy with it, by the way, the difference between microscopic surgery and old-fashioned surgery. It's a great analogy. Then I want to do one on what most hypnotists and NLPers do not understand about long-term psychotherapy. You know, because we poo-poo it, we're at a conference. Oh, it takes this. Well, that one's going to be, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There are times long-term therapy is, if you want the success, it's needed, right? But again, a lot of our world, people have no real training in that world, you know? So you can't use the same criteria of getting somebody to stop smoking and use it for some other issues that I'm going to talk about. So anyway, so those are two things on the agenda. And again, these kind of things are going to go into the NLP Today website, which is being redone. You know, I'll still have the NFNLP website, but then the NLP Today will be a bigger one with and it'll also have a members area where a lot of these videos will go. I'm also working on doing a NLP virtual conference, and it will be techniques and tips. The first one will be, you know, your favorite NLP or I have a bunch of people teach NLP technique that they, their favorite or one they created, or specific things that you can teach in a 45 minute thing to help people grow. I got a guy who's going to talk about truly building a podcast from scratch. You know, some other things, right? And then of course, NLP techniques themselves, right? So it'll be all about helping us rise the level of what we do. So that's it for this week. Stay on. I'm just going to stop the recording, and I'll see you all soon.